everyone. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Romola D from Romola D Reports, and I'm here again with a very illustrious panel, as you can tell today. I'm here with co-hosting with Michelle Young. I'm here with Professor Dolores Cahill, who is an immunologist and biologist, expert on vaccines. We're going to be relying on her expertise through the course of this conversation. I'm here with Dean Henderson, who is the author of several books, investigative journalist, researcher, and who helps inform us all as to who is behind all of the mayhem we are seeing in the world today. And I'm here with two veterans. One is Army Captain Michael Stott from the British Army, a veteran of 30 years, and Bob Kabakoff, who is from the U.S. Army, a veteran of 2 years, I understand, but who is also an independent researcher and somebody who keeps people informed as to what's going on in the world today. So welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. And you're very welcome. And our focus today is really a couple of things, I guess, but primarily the military. Many of us are very concerned that the military may be forced or coerced to take vaccines. I understand that the Pentagon has recently stated that they are not going to be forcing vaccines as such, but they are trying to tweak their messaging or persuade the soldiers to take the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, which, as many people may know, are of great concern to all of us today. There are, I think, Children's Health Defense reported there were about 50,000 adverse events in the VAERS database so far, and about 2,250 deaths recorded. Many countries have suspended the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine because of blood clotting issues, and there have been so many reports of paralysis, stroke, Bell's palsy, vibrating from head to foot, incredible allergic reactions. I mean, horrible things coming out of this vaccine that I guess everybody on this panel and probably a lot of people watching are very, very concerned about these vaccines. And we want to know what we can do to, I guess, stop this kind of coerced or forced or mandated rollout. So on that note, let me turn the floor over to, I'm not too sure, Michelle, did you want to jump in and say a few words before Professor Dolores takes the floor?
I would just like to say, you know, it's great to be back on a Saturday panel with you, Romola. And, you know, what an honour to have such incredible people on this evening. You know, I'd just like to say that really what we need to do is find the solutions to stop this tyranny, this medical tyranny. And I think, Doctor, we're so privileged to have Dolores on this evening. So I think we'll let her leave the floor with what she thinks we should do and how dangerous these vaccines are to humanity.
Thank you. Well, it's an absolute privilege to be on with everyone there. Thank you all. And, you know, I think one of the things when I was, so my name is Dolores Cahill, my background is molecular biology and immunology, and it's a great privilege to be president of the World Doctors Alliance and also the World Freedom Alliance. And Mick Stott, who's one of my heroes as well. It's lovely that he's on the call too. And as everyone here on the call, it's great. So I suppose one of the things that when we were in Trafalgar Square, a lot of the veterans came to support us. And it is that they are aware about vaccine adverse events for many decades, and which was, you know, often termed, one of the terms was Gulf War syndrome, because before the various Gulf Wars, there was a lot of the injections were tested on the army. And it was one of the ways actually that the American government has been used to study actually adverse events around the military, and that they essentially, when they are involved in military forces, the tradition has been that they have been given these injections. So I would say that that everybody, including the military, should be able to have the right to bodily integrity and to only have to take any kind of medical intervention without coercion or without being forced to. But we saw from a lot of the military and a lot of the studies now that there is a well-recognized and actuarially the statistical probability of having an adverse event from vaccines is around 1 in 50. So 2% for each vaccine can have an adverse event or a severe adverse event. And then if you look at the vaccine schedule in America, we'll say under 18, it's around 72 injections or vaccinations. So that, you know, that means that if everyone has a 1 in 50 chance, that nearly everyone will have an adverse event or a severe adverse event against a vaccination in their lifetime. And one of the things that I came out in May 2020 when coronavirus was emerging after about 2 months was to say that, as everyone really knows now and was clear over 20 years, there is prevention and treatment for coronavirus, some of the safest in the world, vitamin D, C and zinc, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin and zinc. So therefore, there was never any basis for the lockdown. But in May 2020, I was saying there's also no basis for requiring in the future a vaccination against coronavirus because we have prevention and treatment. The question should be, why is everyone, doctors, the media, politicians, not ensuring that the medicines and prevention and treatment is made available? And so I was able to, because I would be aware of what's going on for over 20 years, to say in May 2020, I was actually speaking to the future and to future court cases and future tribunals to say that they are going to prevent the information and prevention and treatment being given to everyone. And then say in months or in a year ahead that the only treatment or way to handle this was with an mRNA injection, and that that mRNA injection would cause adverse events following the injection. But also the real danger is that in maybe a month or a year or 2 or 3 years ahead, when the coronavirus or the infectious agent was circulating again, that there would be huge adverse events, but potentially death by anyone that's injected. And that would work by a system. The mRNA would turn the person into essentially a genetically modified organism. They would be expressing the protein of the virus from the mRNA. That would go into their body cells. Their own body would recognize it as a foreign agent, and they would continually over weeks and months start trying to get rid of it. But in the process, their immune system would attack their own body. And when the virus was circulating, coronaviruses circulate every second year, that the immune system would ramp up and that the attack would happen in a real serious way over 2 or 3 weeks, for example, in the spring of 2022, and that they would then start having the effects of the killing of the immune system of their cells, which would result in organs failing. And then they would die over 2 or 3 weeks of organ failure. And this is called antibody-dependent enhancement, cytokine storm, immune priming, immune superpriming. And all you have to remember is that really the mRNA is enhancing the disease, making people sick and dying in the future. And one of the precedent studies of this was a study that I mentioned in May 2020 of Greg Wolf from the American military. They always roll out the vaccinations in the military a year or two ahead of the rest of the world. And he noticed that up to 1 in 3 of the healthy soldiers had adverse events when they rolled out the influenza vaccine made on dog kidney tissue, which may have coronavirus. And he spotted that link in the paper. And that was one of the papers that I refer to in May 2020, is that what was happening in the military in America with the adverse events related to the coronavirus in the influenza vaccine would prime them for circulating coronavirus. And if they were primed again with the corona vaccine, that all of those things would enhance the illness, adverse events and potentially death, not only in the soldiers, but in the wider community. So when I spoke in May 2020, I was speaking to the future to say that if this was the way it happened, that it was well known there would be huge adverse events and death. And essentially, this would be a crime against humanity. I said it on the Dell Bigtree interview in May 2020, because the adverse events and illness for everybody would be so severe. It is entirely preventable and unnecessary. And anyone engaged in this, whether they are in the media, civil service, doctors, or the politicians, it would essentially be a preventable harm, the crime of malfeasance or malfeasance in public office, and essentially crimes against humanity to everyone in the world that were forced or coerced or encouraged to take the mRNA vaccine for coronavirus.
Thank you so much, Professor Dolores. That is absolutely amazing. You were absolutely prescient on that subject, it appears, because this is what's happened now. We are seeing the adverse events. We are seeing the many deaths occurring. You know, the floor is open if anybody wants to jump in and address that, or, you know, introduce yourselves as well and tell us your own concerns.
Well, certainly Dolores came along. I work with veteran mental health, and I've helped thousands of veterans individually to regain their lives from post-traumatic stress disorder. Dolores came and interviewed a number of veterans that were on my program. And what she actually did was she explained some things about vaccines and the aftermath and some of the adverse events. But equally, all of the veterans shared their stories. I'm more than happy to give you a link to that video so that you can also use that as a point of reference.
Thank you, Mick. It was a privilege to actually meet them. And your program, I did your program as well, which is for all kinds, you know, helps everyone recover from any kind of trauma. And I found it very beneficial. And it was an absolute privilege because a lot of the veterans are really well informed about adverse events of vaccines because they have suffered the injuries. And often the army or their country did not recognize it. And they had to do a huge amount of research as veterans to make the connection, often individually and, you know, on their own with great, you know, difficulty in finding the information. So I think it was, for me, it was really, you know, sad, but also very beneficial to hear their stories. And I think it was great for the veterans to hear that all of the things that they had been saying for decades was actually true. And it was actually well known for many years about the adverse events associated with the military, but the information was hidden from them.
Yeah.
What I think we'd like to do, so what we're talking about is major genocide across the whole of our world with all of our people. What I think everyone would like to know, who is behind this genocide? And we have the perfect person on this evening who's done 30, 40 years research into companies. And Mr. Dean Henderson, would you like to come on board now and say who you believe, who we have to point the finger at and who we have to go after to stop this major, major fraud? Dean?
I don't know if Dean can hear us. Dean, your video is frozen. Can you hear us? Does anyone hear Dean?
I can't hear Dean at all.
I can't hear him either.
He's been frozen.
Oh, dear. I think he's going to try to come back on. So
yeah. So
maybe we can fill in until Dean comes back. Bob, did you want to take that perhaps?
Well, there's such a multitude. It's so broad range, this discussion. Some of the things that I've learned in research that's multi-corroborated, by the way, is the term using the term vaccines, which I think is a misnomer, because I think I've come to the conclusion now, not my conclusion, but scientists, virologists, MDs, that it's actually an operating system that does a variety of things, all adverse, some of which have been discussed just in the last few moments. But the operating system seems to be a gene therapy, a gene transitioning therapy, as was discussed. And what it does is it attacks the cells. And in attacking the cells, it depletes the immune system. And the so-called spike virus that typically is emitted by cells to kill pathogens and so forth is disrupted, dislodged, and inactivated, so to speak. So that, as was pointed out, I'm sorry, I've forgotten her name, and she's an expert. I'm sorry, forgive me. Results in many adverse effects. The numbers that have been discussed here are false numbers. If anything, they're much, much higher, and they're kept within a range for world propaganda. I've also learned, or at least I think it's true, that death will come within 1, 2, or 3 years, but I seem to be stuck on Dr. Tenpenny's theories that the virus is supposed to create death 3 to 6 months after injecticide. So that's not so good, and that's very short term. There's been at least 2 individuals so far at the facility I work at, that have passed away because of injections. And of course, it's been muffled. The operating system is extremely ornate, and it goes far beyond what's been discussed so far, because there's a hydrogel tattoo that also goes in with a chip. The hydrogel tattoo has the propensity to create to create thoughts, to create a discharge that allows individuals to sort of mind control and control the bodies. And so it can go either way in terms of enhancing an individual or degrading an individual. They also plan to put an individual's health history, and really, in essence, all of an individual's history within this hydrogel chip matrix so that it can be accessed. And one of the things that hasn't been discussed here, and I'm hardly an expert on it, but it comes repeatedly, and I've been sent some incredible studies, two of which came very recently, that are pretty extraordinary in showing correlations between radio frequency radiation and this particular virus or so-called virus. So what I've learned is that if you compare radiation disease and you look at all the bullet points of radiation disease and then attempt to correlate it with the bullet points that are said to be COVID-19, which I don't believe COVID-19 actually exists, you'll find that the radiation frequency disease correlates one-to-one with all of the adverse effects that come forth from this this virus. Then we get into, you know, other studies and so forth, which, and I'm sort of all over the board in discussing how you catch a virus, which is not possible. It has to be, this is my belief based on what I've read, it has to be activated, agitated by outside forces such as pollution and emotional problems and 5G. So I think that more enhancement of the discussion of 5G is really quite critical. And I think that the points that I've learned and the white papers I've read and some of the studies, as best as I can understand, obviously I'm not a physician, have been extremely persuasive. And so I think that's probably as much as I want to say right now, but as we go on, I'm sure I'll have some other points to inject. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. And I'm sure Professor Dolores will eventually address quite a few of your concerns over there.
Start yelling at me, probably.
I won't start yelling. But as perhaps, you know, maybe we should say that one of the reasons why I've been studying this for over 20 years, there has been 8 pandemics, so-called, declared, which were entirely unnecessary. And so I started to become aware of this in 1997. But in the 2002-2003 SARS, the original one.
SARS-7.
One of the ways it is misrepresented, it's still on the WHO, the World Health Organization website, you can check it, that 774 people died in the whole world in that flu season. So it means the number of people dying from SARS in the whole world population of 7,000 million, you had a chance of dying of one in 8.5 million. But still on the WHO website, they call it a mortality rate of 10%. So this is one of the ways they misrepresent. So they just have, you know, people that they say have died from SARS-1, and then they only test in the whole world 8,000 people or so, you know, 7,000 people. And then they decide that 774 die, and then they publicize in the media a mortality rate of 10% in order to start a whole cycle of fear, which they did. But when you actually look at it, that it's really the fatality rate, you know, and that is one of the ways that then they launch a whole media campaign. And after SARS, the first one, you know, when the media was more honest, they actually was a lot of, including in the business papers reporting and in the health, that this was an entirely unnecessary, all of the quarantining, all of the measures. So there has been nearly 8 since then in 20 years. So, you know, I know the military here, there are many other aspects, but as well, there were clinical trials in 2003 and 2005 that showed that chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine were entirely effective for the symptoms. So that essentially this is a 100% prevented and treatable disease. So that's why it is a huge, you know, criminal and lawful issues that they are not making prevention and treatment available. You know, pushing, say, the elderly into hospital and everyone, giving them incorrect treatment such as ventilators, increasing the numbers of deaths, and then isolating people in their homes where the deaths are through anxiety and loneliness, and there will be future deaths for economic decline because small businesses have been decimated. So there will be less taxes and money in all of our economies, and there will be much more illnesses. And the data around the loss of the ill health associated with economic decline is known for 100 years from either wars or depression or recession or banking crisis. So I mentioned all of those points as well in May 2020. And I specifically said to all of the leaders in the world that every country that I would take personal responsibility, including suffering personal consequences, to make the decision for one country or multiple countries, because the harm was well known, and the harm and the deaths because of the lockdown and not giving the correct prevention and treatment rests as an individual on the prime ministers and presidents, and in their private and public capacity, they are liable for crimes, including malfeasance in public office and crimes against humanity. And those crimes are applicable for their entire lives, and there would be nowhere for them to hide. So I think it's actually I'll just finish off to say that what we have to do is to tell anyone who's listening in, who's questioning this, there is prevention and treatment. There is no need to be worrying about SARS-CoV-2. You don't need mass social distancing, quarantining, and you certainly don't need an mRNA. And we need the media to de-escalate the fear, and the politicians should be acting in their interests of their country. And I feel sorry for the military and the police, because they joined to actually protect people's lives. And they are either been lied to, or if they know that what's going on is incorrect, they are then in a conflicted situation that they have agreed to uphold the elected politicians and their leaders, even though misinformation has been done, and they are being given assigned duties that are actually probably unlawful. And there is a conflicted thing. And in the World Freedom Alliance, we recognize the dilemmas of the military and the police. And we are initiating a project of project accountability. We need whistleblowers to help us to, you know, change this around, but also somehow a walkaway movement. And Mick will go on that. We have many retired military and also serving military and police that are now coming to our side, because they realize that the deaths caused in the care homes and because of the lockdown, if they don't, you know, change the narrative within the military and within the politicians, they are actually part of the problem. So there is a huge societal dilemma, and it's brilliant to have forums like these to open the debate, to say we have to work together, recognize what's going on, and end it not just now in 2021 for COVID-19, but to stop the cycles every 2 years of this happening.
Absolutely. Dolores, do you know, looking at solutions, what do you think we should do next? Because we are obviously having problems with some of the courts recognizing this. So would the next stage be a military tribunal? Because we need to stop this very quickly, because the amount of people that are dying. Or do you think a private prosecution?
So I think, you know, I really am sorry that I'm not a legally qualified person, we'll say, because really what we should be doing, I've said all along as well, the British Isles, I think, the Irish, English, Scotland, Wales, we have such an ingrained understanding of freedom. And we have, because really from the English constitutional law and equity, a huge, and, you know, Magna Carta, but and also our Brehon law, that we know that we have freedom of speech, freedom of travel, bodily integrity, access to justice. So that what we should have done is that the lawyer should have injuncted. Yeah, I couldn't get, you know, I had people that were contacting me and have been involved. And we should be injuncting to the High Court and Superior Courts to challenge the prime ministers to, you know, for the last year to say, why are you not making prevention and treatments available? That's what we should have been doing. In Ireland, I was very honoured to be involved in a meeting of constitutional law and people who know about common law and natural law, and involved in writing notice of liability to the heads of the guards to ask them specific questions, and to the Attorney General, because a lot of what's going on is unlawful behaviour. So I think we need a parallel strategy to put the responsibility, and I admire as well Michael O'Bernicia and Mick Stott and everyone in the UK Freedom Alliance, who have been putting in criminal complaints to individual prime ministers and ministers. I think they are all parallel strategies. I support them all. But what we're discussing in Ireland, and I know there is going to be juries and grand juries across the British Isles, is that if the police and the courts and the politicians are acting unlawfully, which is essentially treason, it is not unreasonable then for the people in our nations to say we have to actually take a good hard look at the police and the courts and actually plan courts where the rule of law would be upheld. So I think we need to either have our own investigation in a military tribunal. So under Irish law, if the three arms of state are not acting constitutionally, you can actually have a military court where you can hold, we'll say, the prime minister and the ministers to account, or that we would instigate new juries under common law or natural law, you know, constitutional law, that would actually investigate in a publicized way what the prime minister and ministers for health, and especially the regulators, because it is unlawful for, this is a phase three, these mRNA in the United Kingdom and Ireland are phase three clinical trials. Everyone who's getting this mRNA injection should be given all of the paperwork and gone through in detail all of the adverse events. But because there is a signal across the world of death, it's up to the individual regulators in each of our countries to stop the clinical trial. And also, it is unlawful to give people with dementia to enroll them in a clinical trial. So I think we should be strategic about it. And there should be injunctions or tribunals or juries rapidly in the next 2 or 3 months to say to the regulators, the Minister for Health, the Prime Minister, this is criminal and unlawful behaviour and it should be stopped.
I'm working, Dolores, with constitutional experts and with the Bill of Rights. And I believe the Constitution, which is the people's law, it's so powerful. It's the highest law in the land. And with the Bill of Rights can override the Crown Corporation. I've got people that have got certain documents that I could provide to you, actually, that will help all of us. Because I think what's important is with all the great people we're working with in the background, these kind of powerful documents on the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and these particular documents are ancient documents. So the older the law, the more powerful. So I'm very happy to share those documents with you.
Listen, I will be very happy, and I've been very honoured to be involved, you know, with Mixdot, and all of us are connected across. Now, of course, in the World Freedom Alliance, we're connected around the world. But I do think because in England is very strategic, and because there are 57 countries in the Commonwealth and Ireland, and I think that's why there's huge pushback here to all of us individually to try and censor us, and for the courts to often dismiss precedence cases, you know, and just say, OK, we're dropping all the charges because they don't want precedence cases to win in court, because it would give precedence in all of the Commonwealth or former Commonwealth countries in the world. So I'm very happy if Mick can give you my details as well to work with that. And we do need to actually look and hold people to account, including to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And also lastly, to say there is a hierarchy of law and a primacy of law, but it also includes the natural law, universal law, which is before and ancient. And all of us have these rights and freedoms, including the freedom of speech, freedom to travel, bodily integrity and access to justice. And these are actually more ancient even than writing itself. And in the hierarchy of law, these inalienable rights and freedoms can never, they're either not given or taken away by anything written down. And I've been studying this area for 12 years because when I was trying to study against the vaccination without full informed consent, that actual right to bodily integrity rests in the pre-writing law, which still exists, your inalienable rights that can never be taken away, of bodily integrity, freedom of speech, freedom of travel, access to justice.
Fantastic. That's what we've got.
We've also, one of the things that I did on the 11th of November, Armistice Day, essentially, or Remembrance Day, was to present to the Surgeon General, who is the man that is responsible for anything that is given to any serving person within the British Army, he was presented a notice of liability, personal liability, for everything that he gave to any of the British forces from that moment forwards. And I have it on very, very good authority that he is also very, very aware of what's going on, because some of his doctors are now aware that they are actually breaking the Nuremberg Code, which is what Professor Dolores just outlined. So he has been served that individually. And we are also created some strategies. I won't give you too much detail about that, because we believe that if the current system is corrupt, then create a system that isn't, that will actually serve the majority. And it's about how we get that out there.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Did Dean come? Have we got Dean back?
Yes, Dean's here. I don't know if you can see him, but I was going to ask, perhaps Dean might like to comment on, you know, the whole context, what you brought up earlier, Michelle, who is behind it. And yeah. Dolores has done a great job talking about the prime ministers and presidents. And who else do we need to, you know, pinpoint here?
Absolutely. Well, it's, of course, it's the grantors of the rights, you know, it's the sovereigns, it's the special bloodlines that have always been obsessed with DNA, the Human Genome Project, the current enslavement of humanity via this vaccination, 5G based kind of remote control, transhumanism that they're working on. And so it's the crown, of course, and as it always is. AstraZeneca, good example. It's owned by the British and the Swedish monarchies. The Wallenberg family is the, you know, push behind it. They're the richest family in Sweden. It's the billionaire class. So the billionaire class is basically they drown government in a bathtub in America with Grover Norquist and all this kind of right wing, ever since Reagan. And they said, government's bad, government's bad. And all you got to do is look at, you know, the capital, and you will think government's bad because they're all corrupt and they're all bought by who? By the crown corporations that lobby them. So it has gotten bad. But the concept of government is what we need, is what we came to America for, to get rid of the monarchy. We fought the monarchy and we won, at least tentatively. And, you know, they infiltrated back in later through the Federal Reserve, through the default of America in 1933, when they called in the gold and made us all straw men and traded us on the stock market. And now they want to trade us digitally with the nanotechnology build that is happening in people's bodies, whether it's Morgellons, chemtrails, the electronics, whether it's the vaccination, whether it's stuff in the food. And they're Nazis. I mean, the original Nazis were the crown, were the, you know, the aristocracy, the oligarchy, the people that arch over us, monarchy, oligarchy, bad. You know, we don't need people arching over us and granting us rights. And as Dolores said, we have natural inalienable rights. We don't need people to grant us rights. We're just fine the way we are. And this is how the whole upside down thing has to get turned. You know, we maybe we'll grant them the rights, like to stay out of prison if we feel like it, you know, but definitely get the gold back from the third sub-level of the New York Fed in New York City, which is owned by eight families. 52% of the New York Fed is owned by eight families. Rothschild, Rockefeller, Goldman Sachs, Lazard, Oppenheimer has replaced Lehman. And then you have the old De Medici money. In Italy, and, you know, these people are all basically run every central bank in the world, and private issuance of currency, which creates debt, which the world runs on. And so now they've got everyone deeply into debt. They want to do this global reset, which means basically, you know, we forgive all your debt, but you own nothing starting in 2030, and you'll love it. And Klaus Schwab, who founded the World Economic Forum in 1971, had just gone to Harvard and met with Henry Kissinger. There's reports now that Schwab actually has the Spear of Destiny, which killed, you know, Jesus, which the Habsburgs kept in their castle. Probably the most powerful bloodline is the Habsburgs that we're talking about here, as far as running this COVID scam and everything else, every other form of terrorism, every other form of war, and every other oppression like slavery and like Indian genocide that's ever happened in the world has been perpetrated by these same people. And yet we're always taught to divide ourselves between Democrats, Republicans, Labor, Tory, you know, man, woman, you know, black, white, you know, and of course you can see their right now and with all these groups because they want to keep it off of class. They have to keep it off of class. You know, Fred Hampton, the Black Panther, talked about class. That's why the FBI killed him. You know, I mean, they went into hillbilly, you know, places in Chicago with a bunch of Southern, you know, rednecks flying Confederate flags. And he said, hey, man, we're getting smashed by the same man here. Why don't we unify? And they went to the gangs in Chicago and did the same thing. And this is the problem. They've divided people with Trump. He was the divider in chief. And now you bring in Sleepy Joe and he resides over the death, the kill shot calmly and with great senility, which is all intentional by design to fool the older people in this country. Well, they feel so bad for Joe and he cares so much for us. And it is a kill program, just like Dolores described, you know, pathogenic priming. It's not going to happen right away. But this is a depopulation that we've never seen the scale of even close on this earth before. It's being perpetrated by people that have the technology to do it now, that have always had evil intent, and that most of the people now don't have the sense to look at. They're just all cowed down and scared and dividing and into the hive minds of the right and the left. And it's time we focus on the crown. So AstraZeneca is just one example. GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, also another crown pharmaceutical corporation. Out of that, we get the Wellcome Trust, Burroughs Wellcome, SmithKline Beecham. Okay, they merged into GSK. This is all connected. The Purbright Institute is another crown charity. They're the ones that are funding the Wuhan laboratory. It could have very well been taken in there by, you know, MI6 agents and just kind of slap somebody's hand on the way out. And I mean, who knows? But the crown is behind this. You look at who put up the towers, the 5G towers. It's almost exclusively Crown Castle. Crown Castle. There it is right in front of you. We're trained not to see it. But they flaunt it. They throw it in our face. Like, can you see it? Can you see it, peasant? And we just can't see it. Well, Crown Castle is based on Fleet Street in the 1 square mile city of London. And they're also Serco, which is the biggest of the companies you never heard about. And the Queen has the gold share. It's a Crown Agent Corporation, they're called. It's on the internet. Google it. Crown Agents Namibia, Crown Agents Mozambique, Crown Agents. You can go like 10 pages of Crown Agents. And this is what it means. And they're serving the Crown. So in a sense, Bill Gates is a Crown Agent. Of course he is. That's why he's a Knight Commander of the British Empire. That's why he's prosecuting the war for the British Empire on the people, on all of humanity. It's not about China versus Russia anymore. It really never was. It's about this war of the 13 bloodlines or roughly or whatever on humanity, because they're eugenicists. Prince Philip already told you he wants to come back and kill people, you know, be a virus, reincarnate as a virus. It's all over the internet. He said, you know, you could see him saying it. And now what do we got? A virus? That's what they said. Nothing to do with it, and everything to do with enslavement. This is a bad flu season. They knew it was coming. So they planned this lockdown. And they're moving to lockstep, which is the Rockefeller Foundation document, 2010. It's called lockstep. That's where they're moving us, into lockstep. And so, yes, it's unconstitutional. Freedom of movement guaranteed by our Constitution, our American Constitution, which was created after we fought the crown. And we won our independence in 1776. King George. We fought King George, man. Remember? And this is what Americans need to remember. And the, you know, we got to get rid of these monarchies. They claim to have no power, and yet all the offshore money, that's where it's at. BlackRock, okay, State Street Capital. Check out Vanguard. Check out FMR Corporation. These four companies own the top five stockholders, every American corporation in the Fortune 500. Just go check it out. Who are these people? Bank of New York Mellon. Who are these people? It's a crown. And you can't trace it because I've done a master's on it and I wrote books on it. And it gets down to Freedom of Information Act requests being denied. And so you can just learn what you can learn. But we know for a fact that a few families control more wealth than half of the population of the world. And now these billionaire families are coming out of the closet and they are the government. They're the super government. They wiped out the idea of voting and, you know, democracy. And now it's just Bill Gates tells you what to do. And Anthony Fauci tells you what to do. The CDC is a private corporation. It's listed on Dun & Bradstreet. It's not a government agency. It's supported by the Gates Foundation. It's supported by pharmaceutical companies themselves. Fauci's a pharmaceutical salesman. You get it? He's a pharmaceutical salesman. And the left has been so, and the progressives especially disappointing now because they've been so brainwashed and taken in by this kind of Jeff Bezos, Feely green, feely red. Well, we're so progressive. And then Bezos, a union tries to organize against him in Alabama, 85% black. And what's he do? He puts out anti-union propaganda right before the election. We'll see how it turns out. It's actually the vote should happen this weekend. I hope they get the union. But this is the old left, me talking about this disgusting fake new left, and then the disgusting people at Fox News and Sky that say it's the left. It's not the left. This isn't the left. This is some kind of Nazi programmed, mind-controlled, hive-minded group of people who are not liberal in anything they do, are not progressive in any of their ideas, and are certainly not tolerant of anyone's belief but their own. And they've been sort of deputized now. See, they go back and forth. Sometimes they use the conservatives. Back in the 80s, it was the conservatives. They were all just, let's go to war, let's kill people. And I was out there protesting with my signs and getting arrested and whatever. And now it's the left. Now it's the fake right, the fake left, the neocon right, the neocon left. They're all crown controlled by these agencies and by Serco, the security bag with five eyes for every branch of the U.S. military, every branch. And every intelligence agency, they have the contract to basically provide, you know, information and services. So they are sitting in the cat's bird seat of spying on the United States. The Crown, that's the Crown's mechanism, the GHSQ's mechanism to spy on the United States through this Five Eyes Alliance, which was created by the Crown. And they've infiltrated the agencies in Canada and Australia as well. And it's not the people of the UK. Again, it's the Crown. It's the City of London Corporation. And Serco, you know, my God, USAID, more contracts than any company. They run our patent office. They run it for the Department of Commerce. They have the contract that administers the patent office so they can sift through all the technology patents and steal them and give them to the Crown. That's what they've always done. The British East India Company, they were the experts at that. You know, we'll steal their innovation. We'll steal their entrepreneurship. And we'll just, I guess, drink tea all day in our castles. They're parasites. These people are vampires and parasites. They've been lording over us for 8,000 years. We have the documents to show it. We have the companies. General Electric, another company, put up all the smart meters, all the LED lighting. Crown Agent. It came out of RCA. So did Serco. Those two companies came out of RCA Corporation, Crown Agent, which developed sonar right before the flu of 1918 happened. They called it the Spanish flu, but it was U.S. troops coming home with the flu, probably triggered by this new technology and getting the flu, just like 5G is definitely contributing to this current coronavirus, you know, whatever it is. And Bob's right. It's about the food. It's about the air. It's about all of that stuff put together. The toxins they've built up in our bodies through all these different means. But it's a depopulation program. We have to acknowledge that. And the Digger Report by 2025 says America's going to have 89 million. You know, when we find out Edwin Deagle was Undersecretary of Air Force for Clinton, and he was basically tied together with the Rockefeller Foundation. He was the director of the Rockefeller Foundation for a while. And we were always trying to figure out, I saw a document 5 years ago, and we were always trying to figure out what's going to happen there. Chinese defeat us in a nuclear war, you know, I mean, that's a lot of people. You know, go from 327 to 89. And by 2025, that's 3.5 years from now. And it's the kill shot. It's the vaccination. And they're literally herding the sheep into the pen for just a kill shot, sadly. And I mean, it sounds so horrible and cynical. And yeah, most of the minions don't know it. They don't know it. Even Gates, he probably really thinks he's doing is, I don't know. I don't know where it ends and the evil starts. But there's people at the top that have engineered this thing to do just this and have used this crisis. I mean, you don't do a coronavirus vaccination. They've always known that. You don't do that. That kills people. They've known that for decades. Am I right, Dolores? Because you don't mess with people's lungs. It's like a separate immune system. There's all kinds of stuff involved with it. I'm not a doctor, but you don't do that. And now they're doing it. And so it's a kill shot. They have to kill a certain amount of people to bring in their fourth industrial revolution. Because it has to be about, you know, green and efficient. And, you know, you only need a certain amount of people now because the robots are going to do the work. I mean, it's just that cynical, and they're eugenicists and everybody around them. And they really, you know, this is the way they look at things. And they are obsessed with their bloodlines. They think they're better than us. They think they're our lords, for Christ's sake. They call themselves lords. Lords of over who? You know, what the hell does that mean? You know, titles, schmeidel. You know, we don't need titles. We need to get rid of all titles. The whole period system and title system is a crown system. And there's so many other things that germ theory, evolutionary theory, particle physics theory, all just wrong. And we're finally finding out plasma. Oh, yeah, wow. And all these, so we're waking up. The people are waking up. And there's all these subatomic physics, and there's the new science and the new archaeology and the new anthropology. There's a lot of good things going on. It's like a renaissance, okay? So people are waking up. Crown knows that, so what do? They accelerate this program. But we have to acknowledge it. And Lockheed Martin, British Aerospace, two other Crown agent corporations. They're the ones spraying and infiltrating our Air Force and spraying the chemtrails on us. And the Morgellons or whatever this crap is, I see it a lot. Everyone sees it. It's. I mean, how can you not see it? And so they're definitely trying to weaken us, kill us. Part of it is a moneymaker, of course, because the medical, I mean, there's three hospital chains now, okay? There's never a lot of emergency room beds because these cheap bastards, they cut staff to a penny, you know? And in the United States, it's Hospital Corporation of America, HCA, it's Aetna, and it's, God, what's the third one? I don't even remember, but there's like three chains that own almost every other hospital in America. So it too has concentrated, the wealth is concentrated into this Walmartization of our global economy where these billionaire cartel owned outfits, big box outfits or big insurance or big bank or whatever are owned by these few families. And yet I still hear people talking about this great socialist takeover, you know, that they're seeing behind the bushes here. And this is what disappoints me the most, maybe within the alternative community, is how right-wing people's economic outlook is. You know, I'm kind of a social conservative, really. I hold on to tradition, hold on to your culture, definitely. But as far as economics, I'm a radical. I want to see the whole thing turn upside of its head and the banks, you know, nationalized and owned by the people of countries and big oil companies nationalized and big hospital chains nationalized with free health care for all. And just a few big industries. The grain processing sector has to be nationalized because farmers are getting screwed. The mining sector should be just gone. It should be no fault. Nobody has to pay premiums anymore. No fault. Government insurance for everything. It's all doable. But yet, see, the crown with its private contractors, it's always contractors lately, like Serco, come in and they just clean up and they just control the government. Lockheed Martin controls our Defense Department. You know, Cargill controls our Department of Agriculture. You know, Monsanto, now Bayer, the old IG EG Farben combine. So we're back to our Nazi roots now with Monsanto. They're owned by Bayer, which came out of EG Farben, along with Herx, along with Johnson & Johnson, along with BASF. So it's just these people really are Nazis. And I think it's the Fourth Reich. And I even heard Klaus Schwab was given this sort of destiny, which Hitler was given to, apparently. From the Habsburgs, from Otto von Habsburg, and that the promise is Otto von Habsburg is going to be the king of the Fourth Reich. And make no mistake, what we're seeing now is the Fourth Reich. This is a Hitler experiment taken internationally, and it shouldn't be seen as anything less, as any less of a threat. My God, they're trying to kill us. So all I can say is you got to be smart. Don't get vaccinated. You're going to have to lay low for a while. They're going to try to ice us out. But we got to, you know, we'll take it to court under absolutely common law, natural law, and then constitutional law. But all of the above, and it far supersedes this British maritime law, which it turns out all of this stuff with the COVID is being incorporated. The blockchain especially is all being administered through British maritime law, the law of the sea. And this is how they do it. And, you know, it turns out, Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, guess who he works for? D.L. Piper, which is the Crown's law firm in America. So there's your Crown connection to the White House and direct. And it's just on and on we go, but we got to be smart. And we got, again, I do think take off the head of the snake, expose the Crown. Wipe out all monarchy. It's just barbaric. It's like they've always been the savages. My God, in the 10th century, they were putting your grandpa on a stretcher. You know, it's just like, I mean, they taught the Indians how to scalp. It's all lies about nature and how violent it is. It's just, they're violent. They have to project that on the nature, project that onto us, make us hate ourselves, loathe ourselves, be cynical about our ability to make change. Meanwhile, the oligarchs and the hyper laissez-faire capitalists are, you know, flying around the world, creating more waste with their mining companies. We're supposed to feel bad. We're supposed to clean up their mess. I mean, it's like, what am I, a fucking janitor?
Dean, that is incredible. You have taken us on such a journey over here. And I think you've opened up our minds so immensely. I mean, you know, talking about the Crown Corporation and talking about the Crown agents, I think you've just exposed that these agents are operating through private companies in the private sector, and they've grown to immense proportions. They've infiltrated all of our industries, including the defense, agriculture, you name it. They're everywhere. And so the people to go after are not just the prime ministers and the presidents of the governments, right? There are visible figureheads, and they do need to be held accountable. We should indeed hold them accountable. But how exactly do you hold this whole conglomerate of the private sector accountable? You know, anybody have an answer to that? How do you do that?
For me, you have to bring it to their own home. You have to let them know that individually they will be accountable and they don't have a system behind them to protect them. And for me, you have to register that in history. So some of the Nuremberg style trials that are now being set up by people in this country are setting the scene, and they're presenting the narrative and the counter narrative so that people can openly be educated. You know, a lot of people would not understand. So if, for instance, in the British Army, we believe that we have British forces at the moment, but even after Brexit, under May's tenure as Prime Minister, what happened was you had three civil servants, Brockbank, Robbins and Langley, and a lot of people wouldn't even believe this, but even after that, even after Brexit was agreed, those three civil servants signed the British forces up to 8 EU contracts, and those contracts are extant today. So as from the 1st of January 2021, we fall under EU contracts. And an awful lot of people don't know that. A lot of British forces don't know that. And you know, people might say, oh, conspiracy. Well, I say, you know, we had a major general that led us into the Falklands War. And he was a guy, Major General Thompson, who basically dropped on this and started to contest it. And of course, these contracts are still extant today. So we are no longer really connected to NATO, which was the original treaty that signed us up to the North Atlantic. We fall under the oligarchs that are the EU. So an awful lot of people don't know that. A lot of veterans don't know that. A lot of veterans still think that they're loyal to the Queen, because that's the way a veteran thinks. When we took the King's shilling, we decided to sign our body up to go and fight for our countries. But in reality, that's not the way it works. And what we're doing in the UK at the moment is we are holding individuals accountable, and we're telling them where it's going to go when this changes, because it will change. The strategy that we've currently got going on in the UK is we are creating a system outside of the system. And we are now getting around veterans. We've created the Guardian Warriors 300. We're already getting a significant level of response to that, where we're getting a group of people that are actually prepared to stand up. It's our intention that in a year's time, we'll have a force bigger than the police force. This is where we are going, because it's about numbers, from my perspective. It's about setting precedents, and it's about laying out our plan, letting them know that we've got that plan, and then getting the numbers behind it. One thing that any soldier will tell you is that if you don't have the support of the local people, you are doomed. You look at Vietnam. Take the lesson from Vietnam. Why did the Americans never really win in that conflict? Because in reality, they weren't connected to the local people. Northern Ireland is another example of that. So if anything else, you know, the most effective way of fighting any situation is through guerrilla tactics, whatever those tactics are, you know. So, whatever strategy you have, it has to set precedents, and it has to hold people accountable. Individual, it's got to come to their own door. They've got to realize that they don't have an organization that's going to back them when this comes out down line. And you literally also have to compete with their propaganda. You know, if you look at the way people are being conditioned at this moment in time, it's no surprise that 77 Brigade, who are a PSYOPs team that connected to the British military, that are actually influencing how we are behaviourally conditioned. Any person in the military that joined the military, the British military, could draw parallels with what's happening right now, because that's exactly the way we prepared them for war fighting. And this is why you know, a lot of veterans are basically becoming aware. They're just sitting in the wings to see what happens. But we will get to a point where at this moment in time, if you did anything that was against the government, you'd be an outlaw. But we will get to a point where in reality, when people have that moment of awakening and they start to realize, you will go from an outlaw to a champion. Because that point is coming. That point will arrive. A point of critical mass where you become a defender of the people as opposed to an outlaw to the people. So we're en route for that. And that moment will happen. And unfortunately, there is going to be a lot of casualties along the way. But we will get to a point where that will happen.
But we have to do it sooner or later because, as Dean has said, the speed, they've accelerated this so much. So I just look at this strategically because I won every application in a rigged system. The only application I didn't win, because I had a major case, I went through a divorce, they murdered my husband, then they unlawfully bankrupted me. The only application I lost was on an unlawful bankruptcy where I can prove now the documents were forged. And I'm working with the Crime and Fraud Commissioner, Anthony Stansfeld, where he has gathered, he cleaned up, he was ex-military, he cleaned up the corruption in Hong Kong. So he's been fighting the Treasury, the Home Office. He's now collated 21 files full of forged court documents. That's how they're stealing our children and our assets through the court system, which I believe is just a banking court. That's all it is. Mm. So I'm just trying to think of a quick, simple way to save as many people as possible because, you know, they're about to force vaccinate all our children. So why wouldn't we have Dean, who's done 30, 40 years research, he's got the company house records to prove that it's the Crown Corporation behind this with the companies. We use Dean's documents. We have Dolores and all the other doctors proving that this is genocide. And then we get your great military guys and we have a military tribunal as an emergency to prove our evidence as quick as possible. No person in the land with that evidence can deny it because this isn't conspiracy. This is fact. This is documentary evidence to prove that these families, these 13 families through debt slavery have controlled this planet for far too long. And do you know something? Rothschilds owns the company Grant Thornton that stole my estate. I have no fear. I'm coming for them. And all those other people across this country on the financial crimes and who have lost their children through their unlawful, wicked system, we do not have any fear. And we know exactly what they've done, how they've done it. We haven't got time anymore. So I'd love you military guys now to set up a military tribunal. I'm sure Dean would work with you. I've got brilliant people on the Constitution and Bill of Rights. They've got documents that can override the Crown Corporation. And I would suggest that we put all these key people together so we can share this and collate this information so we can take action for our people.
We can certainly do that. And part of our strategy at this moment in time is to train sufficient people as common law constables that will stand and support shopkeepers who want to open, recreate communities and the system. We can get back to some old systems of exchange of energy, but equally we are looking at a system that people can join in that is separate to the mainstream system as we speak. And it then becomes about numbers because like any combat situation, it's about momentum. So any team invasion sport, any combat situation is about the energy you create and the momentum that goes with it. So at this moment in time, the momentum is to try to get vaccinations out and to use this as their main spear point. It was always about the vaccination. We knew that was about the kill shot. So equally, what we have to do is to stop that momentum and redirect the momentum in a different way. And that's about numbers and education. The challenge that we have is that when our message is too far right of arc for people to understand it, it becomes too unbelievable. So I only ever present from my perspective things that engage with people with where they're at. And then every relationship around momentum is about sowing seeds. every quality relationship is about dropping a seed in. If you look at the way they've done this cleverly, they've created fear. But what they've done is they've just drawn one seed at a time. And that's typically the way the military do it. They give you one seed at a time and you bite on the seed and the seed germinates. Well, that's our strategy going forwards. And certainly with the World Freedom Alliance and the UK Freedom Alliance, we're initiating the kind of strategy, Michelle, that you're talking right now. That's what we're creating. So yeah, it would be great to collaborate.
I mean, I believe, look, these parasites, and that's all they are, Dean's right, they are evil parasites. We, the people, created this world system. This is our money. It's our taxpayers' money. It's our children. And it's our hard work that's created this. It's very simple. They are few and we are many. We know who they are. And I believe I'm working with some great politicians at the moment that are saying to the current government, we, the people, I've suggested that we have an independent audit done on every account in this country. If we have an independent audit, that's going to go right back to who Dean has mentioned this evening on this conversation. And that's got to be done quickly. We have an independent audit done of all the accounts that show all the vaccine fraud, the child trafficking, the family court fraud and the insolvency court fraud and the rest of this genocide that these evil monsters have created for we the people.
And of course, you know, people don't work on truth. It's worth remembering that. People work on plausibility. And of course, at this moment in time, the only system that seems to be plausible is the mainstream media and whatever they put out there. So the moment you get given a label like conspiracist or conspiracy theorist, you lose. Generally, it's a name that people conveniently believe that influences the plausibility of the people that are talking. That's why they never allow a counter-narrative. So we have to make sure that whatever we present has got to be very, very plausible, and it has to pace people into a different way of thinking. Too quick, and you lose that momentum. But equally, time is of the essence.
Who built the slave ships? Who built the slave ships? It's these same criminals that have pillaged and raped humanity for thousands upon thousands of years. Absolutely. So I'm with Dean. Until we remove that head of the snake, this will continue. And if we don't move quickly...
Nothing radical or conspiracy theory about it. It's just like do an audit of the Bank of England. We need an audit of the Bank of England because the Bank of England controls the entire offshore network of everywhere, whether it's Cayman Islands, Bermuda, Bahamas, Isle of Man, Isle of Jersey, Vanuatu. I don't care where it's at. They've got many. Liberia, they've got many. So Panama, they control it. Who's got the money? Nobody knows. Bank of England knows. Bank of England keeps numbered accounts. This is where the 100 trillionaires hide their money. Yeah, the 100 trillionaires. You know, I mean,
Dean, that's incredible. So you're pointing to an absolute solution audit. Then we can actually start with audit the Bank of England. That's like a good starting point.
I think so. And we you know, Ron Paul tried to do it here, but it didn't do, you know, it didn't get through the Congress. But they need to also do that here with the audit of the Federal Reserve, or if you're in France, an audit of the Bank of France. But the Bank of England is especially important because it really and all the derivatives, man, it's just so that's where the pool of money, the dark money, is. And if you bring that, by the way, if you can do an audit and if you can somehow show that those people are evading taxes in every different country, not just in the UK, but you could bring that money back to your country and you'd be looking at, my God, hundreds of trillions of dollars for healthcare, infrastructure, whatever you want, whatever you need. So this is where I think a really good focus to attack the crown is on the offshore banking network.
That's a great idea. Let's organize it.
Absolutely. Mick, you had suggested, well, you've talked about so many things, and I think all of you have talked about so many solutions. I'm going to have to, like, after this video, you know, write these all down. I'm going to put this on the front page of my website. And I wanted to ask you, Mick, the solutions that you are suggesting about bringing veterans together in Britain, can this also be done together as a joint focus in the US and in Canada? You know, so to bring these countries together, because they're so, you know, prominent in world affairs, bring the US, UK and Canada together, put out a call for veterans or connect with veterans who are as concerned, you know, and civic minded as you are, and bring everyone together and work sort of communally. What do you think, Michelle, as well, about that?
I think that's a fantastic idea. Apparently, a lot of the military, who I absolutely adore, I mean, they're such great people, the men and women that serve for we the people. We have to find a way very quickly, and I believe it's through a military tribunal. We audit the Bank of England, and then we find out the criminals we've spoken about on this conversation with the documents that Dean has, and then that will actually stop the whole fraud, and that will save the military and the civilians. That's my belief. A military
Brilliant.
Tribunal, an emergency military tribunal, and we use our powerful law, our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights overrides the Crown Corporation.
Top down and bottom up. That's a top down process, but you need a bottom up process that generates energy and momentum, because people might not understand what's happening strategically. They might not get it. So a top down and bottom up process is essential. You know, if you think about when we war fight, we use politics and we also use troops. And equally, this is a fight for the Constitution, essentially, Michelle. You're dead right. So you have a top-down process that people can become aware of, but a bottom-up process where we literally are physically going out there and we're reconnecting our communities.
Absolutely.
We are creating support bubbles. We are getting shopkeepers to open up and say no, so that you get that momentum from the bottom up, because it's the bottom up momentum that will make the people at the top start to think, because these rats, when they're exposed, will jump off the sinking ship quicker than you can blink, because they don't have character. You know, for you to sign your life up to defend.
Are they criminals?
Well, they are criminals. Yeah. It takes character to do something like that. And of course, so we do a top down, absolutely, Michelle, and we also get the momentum rolling, get the seeds planted from the bottom up and the momentum going.
And would the bottom up aspect also include attacking the propaganda and disinformation that they have put out there, you know, through mainstream media, which I know is a huge task, but we can do it through a sort of a grassroots guerrilla tactics effort, right? With flyers, with websites.
If you create many fronts, they're the most difficult battles. Guerrilla tactics are about creating many fronts. You know, when six divisions of Russian troops never managed to take Afghanistan, do you know why? Because they would be attacked from different angles, and then the Mujahideen would just literally go back and have dinner. Whereas now all the troops are that switched on, waiting for more attacks. But in reality, eventually you get worn out. What's happening with the police in the UK at this moment in time? They're getting worn out. You know, the British military had military operations for 6 months for a reason. Because after 6 months, you have a high-pressure immersion that leaves its legacy with you. And so if you look at the police at this moment in time, they're getting fed up. You know, I've spoken at a number of protests, and the police, I always have interactions with the police because I can't imagine a community without police. There are brothers and there are sisters. Yeah. And of course...
Hey, guys, I gotta blast off. I gotta blast off. Great to meet everybody. And thanks so much for what you're all doing. And
thank you so much, Dean. Huge.
Dean, amazing. You. Absolutely amazing. Dean, we'll all keep it connected, yes?
Dean's off the call right now, but definitely, hopefully he'll watch the end of this as we continue this conversation and conclude, because I know we all have to conclude shortly as well. But I'll also send everybody an email. I'm so psyched just listening to all of you speak, and I'm all fired up, and I'm all ready for us to continue having these conversations. I mean, would you guys be willing to continue talking about this and you know, whether informally or formally or on air or off air, continue building these networks, because it seems as what Mick was talking about was building a new society, a new system. And I, you know, how do we do that? It seems like that's one of those things where you start somewhere and just keep growing, right?
Well, the people who get the most from life are the ones who, when they find the circumstances that they don't have, they create them. I think that was Mark Twain, wasn't it?
Right.
Build it yourself. Right. Everything's possible. Everything starts with an idea. Everything in the world started with an idea.
Absolutely.
And the more simple you keep it, the better.
Absolutely.
So there's no wriggle room.
No, community. The Vietnamese knew the strength of community. That's what they knew. Yeah. And they, you know, if you have a big enough why, you will bulldoze down as much how as you like.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. So shall we finish off, Ramola, with our two fantastic solutions? And all our military people and our civilians need to know that we have a product called Root Brand. And anyone that has been vaccinated, this naturally can help reverse engineer all the poisons in the vaccine. So shall we have a little look at that, Ramola?
Absolutely. I'm just pulling up my website if people can see it right now. And that's the Root Brand. My website is the Everyday Concerned Citizen, and it's right here. And this is my front page currently. And what I'm going to do, you know, I had an article on Clifford Connicom's great research about the chemtrails and what's being sprayed on all of us leading to Morgellons. And I'm going to continue covering that subject. But the other side of that, of course, is the nanotech that's getting into our bodies. And we had a wonderful conversation with Marina Carew, who is a former holistic dentist, and she is promoting this product, this is our conversation with her. It's News Panel 16. We highly recommend people take a look at it. And Michelle does a great job talking about Root Brands. I'm going to turn the floor back to her, Clean Slate, because she's tried it and she says it really works, right, Michelle?
It's fantastic. What it does, it detoxifies all the metals and toxins from your body. The pineal gland, it clears all the toxins from there and the heavy metals. So where they've attacked the food, the air and our water, this absolutely purifies the whole of the body. So it's mental as well as physical. And it also, as I said, you know, Clayton Thomas's wife worked for all the top pharmaceutical companies. So she has learnt with all her incredible knowledge, and she went to all the best universities to actually reverse engineer naturally a lot of this, the vaccines, the toxins and the poisons which are in the vaccines. So it's a fabulous product. It's also anti-aging. It helps with autism, Alzheimer's, cancers. I mean, honestly, the product is fantastic. And then there's another product called Zero In. And if you take the two products together, they're absolutely brilliant. And anyone that does invest, the fantastic thing with these products, it's a scheme where if you buy it and you then sell it to someone else, you can make, you know, where the economy's in a mess, you can actually make some money from it, as well as buying the products. And everyone that's ordering this product, they're reordering this product. So that's how fantastic this Root Brand company is with these products. So highly recommend it. And then maybe very quickly, should we show that Dr. Rima's cards?
Yes, absolutely. Right here.
So all this is for obviously for our military and our civilians, where obviously those other products help protect the people. And we then have been working with Dr. Rima and also her legal advisor. And these cards can actually stop being force vaccinated with by buying these cards from the website. So they will help protect people if they try to enforce anyone with this vaccine fraud. So worth looking at those two solutions.
Absolutely. And the card is just an informed consent advance directive. So you have it in your pocket. If at all the situation should change and, you know, your local government decides that they want to mandate it, then you can, you know, call upon your rights of informed consent and you have the card and you can stop this for yourself and your families. It's just a kind of a preventative, I guess. So, I guess, you know, this has been such a fabulous conversation. Thank you all so much for being here. And also Professor Dolores and Dean, who are not here this moment, but who have contributed so much to this conversation. Thank you for presenting all of your information and for also giving us the inspiration to keep moving forward in a very positive way, because so many people are so depressed at what is going on.
We're going to win.
I love that. On that note, Bob, any last words? You've been quiet.
I was listening to what Mick had to say, and I'll inject this one point. Here in the United States, of course, and Mick undoubtedly is aware of it, there is a group that is refined and adheres tremendously to the Constitution. And I think is going to play an integral part of the trending as it is continues. And I'm referring to the Oath Keepers, which has been tagged as a militia group, but essentially it seems to fall along the same lines that Mick talks about in terms of engaging past military and past police, law enforcement of any kind, and a lot of civic minded people who have joined. And will fight if necessary. And I think it's worth looking into. It's run by a Yale graduate named Stuart Rhodes, who graduated from Yale in 04. And I think it's emerging essentially along the lines that Mick has talked about. And I think it's going to play a very vital part if the trending continues, because frankly, the discussion here has been wonderful, very intellectual and so forth. But I, so far, didn't get any indication of what short-term strategies would be employed, because as I see things, given the inoculation rate and the adverse consequences that are going on, which is in the thousands, and I think that something useful needs to be done pretty quickly, but I'm not sure what it is. But given the existing trending, it's very, very negative. Although all the concepts that have been discussed here are very, very positive, and I like them. I like them all.
Connect us up, Bob.
Yes, go ahead, Nick.
Connect me to that group.
I'm sorry.
If you connect me to the group you talk about, it would be nice.
Yes, I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that you don't know about it, but no disrespect. Absolutely, I can take care of that. I think I have your email, don't I? I can send some documentation over to you.
Yep.
Please, yeah, we're on an email list.
Okay. Yes. Okay. No problem. Now I'm happy to do that forthwith.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Bob. If at all, you know, we would like to be connected, I think, to any group who can continue these conversations, because these are very productive, positive conversations.
Yes, they are.
And even though we don't have immediate solutions, as you say, I think Professor Dolores mentioned that, you know, an injunction should have been done to all of these governments a long time ago.
She's absolutely right. And the concept of military tribunals, because, of course, the U.S. courts, as far as I'm concerned, are cooked and are of no value. We found that out of the presidential election. But not going there, there are other things that recently have been turned down by the high court and also the circuits and the district courts. They're completely untrustworthy, because Mick is correct. These individuals at the highest levels in the United States have received either blackmail or compensation to act and react the way that they do. And it's horrendous. So the concept of a parallel legal system is really vital.
And it is.
I think the most dangerous people in history, the order followers. So you have people who know. And then you have people who follow orders very, very well.
Yes, that's correct. There's also another discussion point. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt. There's another discussion point, and I don't want to belay the telecast, but that hasn't been discussed and traditionally isn't discussed by very renowned researchers and book writers and so forth and other intellectuals. And it's critically important because it relates to the 13 families. And I think the concept of when when Dean said that the crown is behind everything, well, he's right. Everything that he said is 100% correct, except he didn't mention who controls the crown. And, you know, that's vital in order to fix the system. And it's very dicey. And then it gets back to what you discussed, which is you can't feed these individuals who have a very low, I won't use the word intellect, but an understanding of world events too quickly, because you'll overwhelm them and lose them. So that's probably the reason why this discussion point is never brought up. But it's vital, because if you're going to clean up Dodge, you got to clean them up, too. Because this is not a human operation. This is a non-human operation, controlling proxies that are doing all of this. So the crown is controlled by proxies. That's all I'm going to say about it now. We might want to discuss it at a later point.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how quickly could we set up a military tribunal? Because we need, I'm with you. We know that this is like the hourglass, that the sand is going through very quickly.
Well, Michelle, I'm sorry, I hate to interject a point, but according to some researchers, and I can send them over to you, military tribunals have been ongoing for the last 2 years. I don't necessarily believe that. And it's been obscured from public view. And there have been consequences as a result of those tribunals, supposedly.
I know.
So it's a very iffy subject. So let's get back to what you said. I agree with you. The only way out is military tribunals. I don't believe in the traditional existing court system one bit.
Exactly. But we've got to move fast.
Got to move yesterday.
But when you say military tribunals, I'm sorry, I just have to sort of clarify this. You don't just mean the current military, do you? Because we have a kind of a situation in the military where the top brass, as you have pointed out, Bob, is kind of taken. They are being run by somebody else, right?
I can't target a specific percentage, but it's a very hefty percentage. And the conversion, of course, is going on with the Biden administration. There's so much more to this. You see, if you judge this whole process using your five senses, you'll never get to the bottom of it. And as wonderful as Dean is and the professor, they don't discuss what's beyond the five sense perceptions, because that's what rules us. That's what controls us. And I know it's a very difficult subject, and I agree 100% with what Mick says. You start talking about these things and you lose people. But when are you going to talk about it? Because this thing is very fast moving. And very deadly.
Now, both Professor Dolores, you know, just to continue on from what you have just stated, Bob, both Professor Dolores and Mick mentioned military veterans and serving military and serving police who are concerned about the situation. And
they're
talking about these Project Accountability and Project Walkaway movements. Would you like to, I mean, those of you who can see this on this panel right now, would you like to put out a general call right now for others to join us, to join you, and how they can reach you? I'll put this on my website. If you have a vision that you'd like to share with others and put out a call for action to join you.
Well, again, we get back to the concept of the Oath Keepers, which, again, Mick is not entirely aware of, and he will be very soon. And it's pre-existing. It runs along all the concepts that we discussed legally. It absolutely refuses to buckle to anything that's unconstitutional. And it comprises ex-military, ex-police, ex-special forces, a variety of individuals who are well-tuned, well-honed, in combat concepts. And I think, given present trending, and I hope I'm dead wrong, that we're going to see a larger role of this type of individual. In fact, this individual may, in fact, be a central control part in the United States for galvanizing this attitude. Because as our rights are continually taken away from us, there's got to be pushback, and there will be. I love everything Mick says. But Mick's process takes time, and it's wonderful.
We don't have time.
I agree with Michelle. I don't see any time here. The way this thing is fast moving. Yeah. There's a geometric expression of people running to get these injecticides. And there's also another theory, which I'm not going to propound on now, that makes the injections even worse, and it correlates with a binary system that's released by frequency waves, and that gets into Morgellons and Carnicom's work, which is prodigious. But again, even with vaccinations, we find not too many people on the 5G bandwagon when they should be, because that's critical. Right. My view is, look, I think there's a $10 million bounty on COVID. Anybody that can isolate it and prove it exists, COVID-19, gets a $10 million bounty. I have to look that one up again. Well, no one's claimed the bounty.
Who's offering it?
I've got to look back into it, but there was a bounty out, and it's been out for 4 or 5 months, and no one's claimed it. How can you claim something that doesn't exist? How can you fight something with a vaccine that's not a vaccine, but an operating system, a gene retooling system that results in the death of individuals? According to Dr. Penny, this is really short term, not a year, two or three from now, which I could agree more on, but 3 to 6 months post-injection. I mean, this is devastating to know, and I hope she's wrong. And there's also other concepts that people who are vaccinated can be triggered electronically and through frequencies to release an even more potent pathogen. And so these are things we haven't discussed, and it goes against, I suppose, conventional science, because conventional medicine is based on the Pasteur, the germ syndrome. There's no germs attached to virus based on what I've learned. There are no germs that can control viruses, cause viruses. That's why the masks are useless. The germs or the virus is inherent in the cell structure. All coronaviruses are inherent in the cell structure, and they are triggered by outside influences, which I've already discussed. Namely, there's three that I come to mind. One, of course, is pollution. Another is emotional dislocation. And the third, of course, is 5G. They're putting 100,000 small bus-sized satellites into orbit. They're all 5G satellites that circularly orbit. Why are they doing this? Yes, it's for the robots once we die. We understand that. But it's also a control system for those who take the injecticides, because there are readouts that can be implanted in the ingredients in the injectocide. The injecticides are multi-purpose, and so something we really haven't touched on here. But again, it all gets down to fast tracking. I think that from my standpoint, we're fast losing our military. But the military that could get voluntary honorable discharges because they refuse to take the poison would be candidates for the Oath Keepers or some structure like the Oath Keepers. And that goes entirely 100% in terms of what Mick is saying, because those individuals would also be very useful to what he is working on and developing. So it's a little bit all over the board talking about this, but it comes down to what Michelle said. And I know Michelle is very agitated, and she wants something to happen quickly, because, and she's right. This isn't something you're going to sit on and develop over the next 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, because people are going to be dropping dead. And there's going to be other, well, there's some good news. There is some good news. Florida has just proclamated an EO, which disallows vaccine passports, and they're going to put it into law, it looks like. So that's a start. And there is some gun control measures that are coming up in some states, and that's also a start. But there's an overwhelming movement and momentum with the injections. I'm all over the board. I've tried, and I've given up now, to talk to individuals and present the problem to them, especially at work. And it's very, very difficult. The rejection rate is very high. And Mick hit the nail on the head when he talked about conspiracy theorists. Well, that was derived by a think tank in England. And name eludes me. He would probably know who that think tank is, and I should know, which was purposeful in getting it out into the public, so that when this kind of offbeat, seemingly offbeat information is presented, an individual immediately transition to a rejection, that it's a little bit too much for their consciousness to assimilate. And so they simply cannot, they don't have the capacity to understand it. And so the easiest way is reject and go back to what is normalcy. And normalcy, of course, is evil. So that's a difficult process.
Well, never underestimate the power of truth, Bob.
You know, no.
Truth has its own frequency.
Yes, it does.
And right, Michelle?
It's sacrosanct.
Absolutely.
Sacrosanct.
Exactly.
So we can cut through. We can cut through the psyops, and maybe that's the note on which we end this afternoon's discussion.
Yeah,
I mean, Bob.
Once
Bob,
I
thank
get going,
you.
I can say thank you so much for what. Thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome.
What a wonderful selection of people. It's incredible.
Well, we're all going to stay connected, and we're now all going.
Well, I know you're going to stay connected with me. I know that.
Yeah, you know.
which is wonderful.
And I think we know there's also some other people, my last note, in the background,
yeah,
doing
absolutely.
Lots of good work. General Flynn, Sidney Powell, and President Trump, who is still our president.
Wonderful.
Right.
Let's
right. We don't want to get into a discussion on that reality, but I agree with you, but I don't know about the alliance, but that's a discussion for another day. Mick,
that's
I'll send you that
day.
In. Right, I will. Mick, I'll send you that information.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Last point, guys. God wins.
Oh, that. I like that.
There you go.
Yes.
God wins. And, you know, the conversation about the scientific aspects, again, that's another subject for another day as well. Mick, did you want to cover anything after what Bob has said about what he did say?
No, I'm very much... I'm very much a person who creates energy and movement. And for me, you know, I'm a linguist, so I know how to pace people. I know how to influence people. And for me, it's about what we create physically through momentum. And that's
wonderful.
Where we're gonna, you know, and, you know, success is a quantum concept. I personally woke up and it took me about 10 minutes to understand something and I was awake, and then all I needed was something to follow. So we're providing that something to follow when people do wake up, which they will. And all I'm going to say to people is, if you want to connect, you want to change things, then let's just get more of us together, creating that energy and that momentum.
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Great note to end on. So thanks so much, everybody. Thanks everybody
for
watching, and we'll see you again very soon. Bye for now.
Thank you,
Ramona. Bye,
you.
Everyone.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.